time is here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll pin you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NASA, NBA, TSA, NSA, NASA.
Any of those A's.
Any of them A-holes.
Excuse me?
We don't speak for Shell either, only she does.
Wow, we just really maxed out the board red. Somebody did, it wasn't me.
Well, that's okay.
It comes from two people speaking at the same time.
Okay.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B. As always with
Shelly.
And Mark. Dude.
So here we are.
Yes.
Where are we?
The Orlean. Is that how you
pronounce Orleans?
It? Orleans.
Las Vegas, Nevada, baby.
Sin City.
Yes. With all of our listeners.
Woo!
Woo!
There you go.
Yeah. I don't know if it's all our listeners.
Yeah.
Unless
pretty much.
These guys are downloading like 3 million times each.
But the 830 audience is starting to line up outside, so.
Well, yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So there's 5 plus Fran. So that means 5 downloads a day, and the other 9 million are Fran.
Yeah.
Perfect.
The other 9 million are some guy named Sahib.
In Ghana.
India.
No, the one guy in Ghana.
One guy in Ghana.
One guy in Ghana, but he only downloads one show at a time.
That's.
Well, he needs to pick it up.
That's how you're supposed to do it, isn't it?
We had a day one time where we had like 29,000 downloads in like Topeka, Kansas. I'm like, what is that? Just some dude just sitting there going, download. At the end of like 5 hours, he goes, I never could download that show. I don't know what happened.
That was some guy in a 3-hour conversation leaning against his keyboard.
Exactly.
And he just kept clicking download.
Some guy's got a cat and a fly in the room. Just keeps hitting it.
That was a great visual, and you know what?
Yeah.
7 people are going to appreciate that a lot.
Right. It really worked well here, but I added the sound effect.
You did. You did. That was good.
So I would introduce the boozy news normally at close to this time.
But we do not have boozy news today because we have our listeners here, and they're going to contribute.
We have live booze.
Are we going to go out and do something and get arrested so we can have boozy news?
Well, there's free drinks downstairs. I think half of them are sloshed.
I think we've got enough that has happened in the last 24 hours. We've got enough to contribute.
You know what? I think we have a drinker in our midst.
Yes.
I think
yeah, but you make it sound like we have like a newcomer that went out in our midst. We
a
have,
slipper.
Have one that but is that, technically that, legal to drink.
But that's what I love. It's like the thing. See, if someone had ever tried recovery before, this happened with my mother and I. My mother said, "Well, since you've tried recovery and you haven't made it, if you get loaded again, you have to leave the house." And I said, my brother gets loaded all the time, and he doesn't have to leave the house. And she goes, well, he's not trying to stay sober. I said, wait a minute. So I'm the guy who's trying to stay clean, and if I slip, I got to go. But if I just never said I needed to step clean, I could just get loaded every day and be okay. Not that I ever still think about that 25 years later.
Yeah.
Well, and we haven't.
You're not carrying that around with you still, are you?
No.
Okay.
No. In
just
a sack.
Why are your ears turning red?
A couple of times a week we hear about it. That's all.
Yeah.
A couple of times a week times 15 years. How long is that? How many times have I heard that?
Enough. Enough.
So?
So what?
We have no doo-doo toots. We have no boozy news.
We don't have any boozy news.
There's no.
Can we just do the doo-doo toots?
Fran's over here saying we want to
Fran's and Duda were
practicing.
You have?
Oh, yeah. Well, Fran. Here,
Fran's
Fran.
Been practicing. Okay, Fran's going to do the doo doo doots.
We're going to say, and here we come with the rest of the program. Wow. Wow, that was like dudes on crack right there. That was like dudes on, that was like that was like crystal dudes right there. I'm pretty sure.
Wow, it's a solid block of red on the board.
Yeah, yeah, probably should have thought about that.
Yeah, that was probably pretty good. Yeah,
should probably get a doo 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 from across the room.
So then, Shelly.
No, we're good.
So then, Bruce.
We have a topic.
We do. The topic is the pros and cons of allowing your minor children to drink.
Okay.
At home.
Bill just put his head down like, Lord, I'm done with this.
How do you feel about that, Shelly?
There are pros and cons to it.
And what are the pros?
The pros are, well, from my own experience, my son was allowed to have wine with dinner and stuff from about the time he turned 15 over at his dad's house.
Mm-hmm.
They would have wine with dinner, or once in a while his dad would let him have whatever it was he was having. And I think as a result, he never became a big drinker. It wasn't forbidden, and he just doesn't care. Because there was no mystique to it. There was no, you know, he never got it, never went any further. In fact, he just turned 21. And
I know, it was ridiculous.
It was ridiculous.
He didn't drink at all.
He didn't drink hardly at all. And then all of his friends who came over to, like,
heroin, but he didn't
hang out.
Really drink
well, that's okay.
All his friends that came over to hang out brought, like, happy birthday booze with them, and they didn't finish it.
They left
and
it, like,
said,
sitting there?
You're doing it wrong.
Yeah, they ended up with a liquor cabinet
that,
had more booze in it after the party than it had before the party. We're
right.
Like, dude, didn't you just turn 21? You're doing this wrong. Not only would my liquor cabinet have had less than it started, it would have been empty, and we would have been out getting more.
Right. But then there are cons. I'm sure that someone can elucidate on that.
Well, Mark, what do you think? You get pros and cons on it, I'm sure.
Well, here's the thing. I got clean and sober before any of my kids showed up in my life.
Yes.
Yet, I did allow all of them to drink at home under supervision. Because my thinking was, they're going to drink. 21 isn't some magical number that shows up on your driver's license one day and you're ready to open your first can of beer or drink your first glass of wine or take your first shooters.
When
they're
by the way,
going,
you can go die for your country at 18.
They're going to drink. So who would I rather have teach them about drinking?
Apparently an alcoholic.
They're high school friends. Do I want my daughter to be taught by that sophomore in college that she meets when she's a senior in high school? That was my goal when I was a sophomore in college, was to teach a senior in high school how to drink.
Wow.
Just enough to not throw up at the wrong time was the answer.
Oh.
So, Terry, you got some feedback here?
Well, I remember when I was like maybe 6 years old, my father used to love to give me chili peppers. And after I'd eat the chili pepper, he used to let me gulp his beer. And I loved chili peppers.
you grew fond of chili peppers.
I grew extremely fond of chili peppers.
Well, that's awesome. So. Yeah, see, me, I don't know. I have mixed emotions on it. I didn't let my daughter drink. She clearly did. Just like my parents didn't let me drink, and I clearly did. I know that my mom let me smoke weed at the house for quite a while. And
you clearly did?
Well, she let me, and I said, okay. And if she had had a little bit of champagne to drink, she might come in and join us, which used to freak my friends out. My mom would come walking in the door, and she'd have like a glass of champagne, and she'd be doing that wiggle the head thing, and she walked to the door and she was like, hi. And my brother's friend Dean would say, Mrs. Burnett, would you like to smoke with us? And she's like, oh, like a cigarette? And he goes, no, not quite like a cigarette. And my mom, she did this about 30 times. And she'd hold this joint and she'd be like, well, what do I do with this? And I'm like, Mom, this is like the 30th time you've done this. Really? You don't know to smoke it like a cigarette? She's like, oh, I'm supposed to smoke it? I'm like, Mom, you can only play like you don't know, like maybe the first, I don't know.
10 times, yeah.
But, you know, and on the 30th time, it's obvious you know what you're doing. But I don't know. I don't, see, I'm weird about this because I think that the drinking age should probably be 18. Or conversely, the age to get in the military should be higher. You know, because I don't think it's right that you're not allowed to drink, but you're allowed to go die. There's just something weird about that to me. I don't know which it needs to be, mm-hmm. whether the drinking age should be lower, the military age should be higher. I don't know. But, I'm up in the air on the pros and cons of that.
The question isn't really about the drinking age. It's about, is it okay at any age?
Well, but that's the thing.
For you to, well, you know, if your kids are at home and
so
you...
So which would you say it's good to start them out there, Mark?
I did wine tasting with them when they were 11.
Wow. Are any of them alcoholics now?
Nope.
None?
Not yet, but the jury's still out. Anything can happen.
Working hard at it?
No, you know, they're really not.
No, I don't know. Shelly? How or anybody over there, how young is too young? In your guys' opinion.
Okay.
Bill.
Bill.
Now, let's see.
But you got to hold the microphone by your mouth if you're going to talk.
I got to talk it with like that?
That's it.
Okay.
It would be helpful.
That's
okay.
It. Otherwise, we start pushing down on the back of your head if you don't do it right.
Okay. Well, I started drinking when I was about a couple days old. The thing my mom, one of the pros was, if you put a shot of whiskey in your baby's bottle, you have a quiet baby.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, you do. Secondol works like that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, heroin too.
Yeah.
Baby and shuts right the hell up.
Only for 3 hours though.
But I was one of those kids who was in his diaper, walking around with a can of Schaefer beer in my hand. And, you know, I grew up drinking. You know, that was my go-to, you know.
How'd that...
So it's fine. Look how you turned out.
Yeah, okay, it's just fine.
Worked out for you.
Worked out perfect. And, oh, Bruce, when I joined the military at 18, the drinking age in my home state was 18.
Right, you could drink then.
Yep.
And in many states.
Yep.
Shelly, when you went to Hawaii, you could drink in Hawaii at 18, right?
Yeah, I could drink at 18 in Hawaii, but it wasn't that exciting after the first couple of times we went somewhere, and it was like, woohoo, I could drink. And then it was like, eh. At that point, it wasn't that exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, it was really expensive. But what I was going to say is that you were talking about the military and drinking age and underage and all that. If you're 18 in the military, you can drink on base. You just can't drink off base.
Okay.
Is that true, Amanda?
They never told me that.
Well, my thing is, whether it's okay to do it on base or not, I just think it's wrong to tell guys, hey, you know what, you can't have a beer, but you can go take a bullet.
It should actually be required. Should that be required? That should be required, right? You should be required to drink on the plane on your way to war. Yeah.
When I was in Saigon, they had camouflage Budweiser cans for military use only. Black and OD green Budweiser.
Yes. Really?
Yes. Yep. Add a little black writing on top says U.S. military only.
So what we're saying then is, in the right circumstances, if we camouflage beer like, say, Hello Kitty, we could just send it to preschool with them, and it would work.
Why not?
Yeah, their nap time might be a little bit longer, which, you know,
nap time.
Give the teacher more time,
right,
to, you know.
Give them a blanket and a pillow and a bucket in case they drank too much. You know, so
right.
But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question, Bruce. If when you went out drinking when you were younger, did you go out drinking because you wanted to drink or because you wanted to fit in?
Oh, I wanted to be loaded.
Okay.
I like the feeling of being loaded.
Okay.
It's funny because I would hear people, oh, I drink because I was sad. I drink because I was happy. I wanted to fit. If I was by myself, I'd drink. Well, actually, probably smoke weed. But if I was by myself, I'd do that because I like the feeling of being loaded. And it didn't take me long when I was young to realize that if you were with me, I was probably only going to get half as much. And that's not a good thing for me. I like the entire issue. But I wasn't I wasn't really much of a fit-in guy. At the very first, I used to not get loaded. All of my friends got loaded. Everybody got loaded except me. And I had no problem hanging out with them. But they would always hand the bong around, and it would get to me, and I'd look at it, and I'd hand the bong and the lighter to the next guy because I'm that considerate, you know. And then one time it came around to me, and I said, oh, I'm going to smoke. And they didn't even notice it first until I started choking and hacking to death.
So you became the Bogart?
No, yeah. I was on my knees on the floor. I was hacking. And I remember it was like, I always want, like when I see a dog watch people getting stoned, I mean, I am coughing my lungs up and I'm thinking, whoa! I'm like, why do people do this? And we used to have this dog named Timmy. And Timmy would look up at us, and we'd just be smoking and coughing. This dog would be looking up at us like, hey, you guys are idiots. Look at you. Can't even breathe. Fran?
I have something to say.
Well,
I started drinking when I was 16. I turned out just fine. No, my first drunk, I had tasted wine and you know, little sips that my parents had. But when I was 16, I was at a football game. We had Jack Daniels in a Burger King cup. So I drank Jack Daniels in a Burger King cup. Okay, the first problem is that we ran out. We had to go. We had both. So we ran out and had to go get some more. Well, there was this big 10-foot fence over my head. I thought, you know what? This stuff gives me superpowers. I'm going to jump over this fence.
No,
so
there's a fail video waiting to happen right
now. I go up to the fence, and I jump on the fence, and the fence goes, boo, crashes over.
So, you did. You were successful. And you crashed the fence.
Yeah. I'll never forget it. No. Other than that, I was not legal to go into bars because I was not in the military.
Yeah.
So we snuck in the bars. I don't know. What else to say? I got drunk.
Well, let me ask this. Like Shelly. Not okay to drink in your house when you're young, right?
Well, because I grew up with a sober alcoholic. I mean, you know, my dad was an AA, my mom was an Al-Anon, I was an Alateen. Me drinking was not going to happen, not just because it wasn't allowed. It was extremely frowned on. There wasn't any booze in the house. And I wasn't one of those kids that was brave enough to go and try and find somebody to buy it for me or try and sneak and buy it myself or whatever. It just wouldn't happen.
So let's get this straight. Grew up in a house with alcoholics.
Right.
Didn't drink in the house.
Right.
Ended up an alcoholic.
Right.
My kids grew up in a house with an alcoholic.
Right.
Drank in the house, have not thus far turned out to be alcoholics.
And neither is mine.
I think we proved something here. I'm not sure what.
Well, I grew up in a house where no one drank in our house. There wasn't booze in our house at all. And I became an alcoholic. And I started drinking at age 13. But Terry and I, we told our kids, you know, obey the laws of the land. You can't drink till you're 21. We didn't allow them to drink at home. But there was an incidence when...
Uh-oh. Ooh, here we go.
There was this time.
When Terry and I were
at band camp.
Friday night meeting. And we came home early, and Amanda was drinking. So I'd like to hear that story.
I actually was not...
Take the microphone, Amanda. Take the microphone, Amanda.
Okay, I will admit, I actually was not the one drinking that night. Because at that age, I did not like the taste of beer. I thought it was disgusting.
It is.
No, it really was.
It still is.
But I did have some friends that were, I guess, kind of drinking. I mean, I think we had a couple beers in the house. But I don't know. I don't know. It really wasn't a story. It was more so we were hanging out. It wasn't really about the alcohol.
It was pretty funny, though, don't you think, when we came home?
Well, what happened was it was me and my friend Brittany and then some other friends from high school. And then
Brittany decided
it would be a great idea to throw her beer into my closet all over all my clothes in hopes that no one would be able to find out that it was there. So, of course, I was like, what the hell? Freaked out, and, yeah, my whole closet, all my clothes smelled like beer, so.
That's what I would have said.
Terry, do you remember what happened when you came home?
Uh-oh.
That.
Things are falling. Terry?
Terry, what happened?
Well, the screen was busted. Yeah, that was just... complete anarchy, yes.
There was only three of us.
They ran through the screen.
Yes.
That could happen to anybody.
Well, I truly believe that, alcoholism is actually hereditary. That's what I believe. And most people who are alcoholics, doesn't matter what age you're going to start drinking. If you are an alcoholic, there are many stories out there that, you know, when people started drinking when they were in their 20s or 30s, didn't start drinking until then, they became instant alcoholics at that point.
Then shouldn't matter a bit whether you let them drink or not.
Yeah, well.
In the general public.
I think it also has a lot to do with maturity, too. You know, is this person mature enough and responsible enough to drink?
Well, because if it had to do, like, for instance, the discussion between... If we're let drink in the house or we're not let drink in the house, who stayed sober, who didn't? It's common for Italian families to have wine with dinner from a young age. So that must mean there's no alcoholic Italians because they all started drinking when they were young.
I guess it's good to have Italian genes.
That, yeah, I guess. So, Shelley... Shelly?
What?
Shelly.
Wow. I'm trying to involve you in this radio show.
Shelly.
But you're off texting.
Well, my friend John Paul just texted and said that he hopes you're having a good time and that your pee-pee isn't sunburnt. So I had to answer the text. Because we're staying in a hotel that has a nude pool. I mean, well, okay, the pool isn't nude.
The pool's dressed. The people around it aren't.
Yeah, the people around it are not. But I told him no. Anyway, what was the question?
Okay, you didn't even hear what I talked about, did you? Left to go find the nude pool.
What?
Okay, we have a lot of people in this room. One thing to really remember, because it took us a long time to learn this when we were doing the show originally. If there are more people in the room, and certain people have microphones, the one person who talks that everyone looks to... sounds like this on the air. Because they don't have a microphone, so no one hears it. And then they'll hear all us go, oh, that was a good one, Rhonda. But it's like, Rhonda doesn't have a mic, so nobody hears it. So, when we're going to talk, sometimes you'll hear, it'll almost sound like we're being, like, not so generous. Like, Terry will be saying something, and Mark will be saying, Terry. Okay, Mike, talk into the mic. Yeah. So that's why.
Yeah.
So.
I got another text, interestingly enough. I think it was for Brian, who's sitting on the couch over here. He sent me a text. He's so desperate for boozy news. He sent me a text about the story that we did last week about the body falling out of the corners.
Did you really do that from right there?
Yeah.
You were right there.
A body falling out of a corners van.
You're sitting 11 feet away from me. And you texted a story.
No, this was before it even started.
Okay. All right.
So the text just came through.
Started talking about boozy news. Yeah. I said, here, I'll send you some. And so I got all those Vegas excited.
Yeah, and who are you?
I'm Brian. Who's Brian?
Yeah.
Who's Brian?
So, oh, my God. We just found out who Brian was. We're underwhelmed.
I know. Aren't we all a little less intelligent now?
Yeah. Now what?
So, Brian?
Yes, sir.
On the topic, I don't know if you have kids.
I do.
You let them drink? Underage or no?
I don't. They are with my sister now because of certain circumstances.
Your sister, the lush?
No.
Does she let them drink?
No. They're in a very good place right now, and I don't want to take them out of their environment.
Okay. So,
you know, I was sitting in jail fighting charges, and their mom died of a heroin overdose.
Oh, my God.
And so my sister adopted them to get my wife's or dead wife's grandparents or parents out of the picture because they're all addicts and alcoholics. They own the Coors distribution in southern Utah, and so there's plenty of alcohol around.
Oh, my God.
And so, yeah, so that way they're on my sister's terms and not their terms.
Got it. Would you let them drink underage?
You know, they probably already have after, you know, sitting in the house with all of us drunk and passed out. I'm sure they helped themselves at one time or another.
Yeah. So here's the question. When your kid drinks, would you rather be the one there to answer questions, or would you rather have whoever they found to be drinking with to be the one there to answer questions?
I would rather not be answering the questions to the judge on why all the kids in the neighborhood are drinking in my house.
I didn't say all of them. I said your kid.
I know, but you know, if my kid's drinking, then the first thing they do is go tell their friends, dude, my parents are cool with me drinking. You should come over. You're going to have spaghetti and beer.
He just dodged the question, didn't he?
Yes, he did. But that is actually true, because when I was like 13, I went over to my friend Kristen's house. I wasn't allowed to go over to Kristen's house again because I found out that, you know, Kristen's mom is a bit European and has different ideas about alcohol in the home, and Kristen wanted me to have a coconut amaretto cocktail with her. And it was okay, and I knew it was okay because her mom was sitting right there.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, maybe I shouldn't do that. So, yeah, it does happen.
Awesome. So, where are we at here with time?
We're waiting for you to answer the question I asked.
Oh, would I rather have me tell them or their friends? Probably me. I'd probably rather have them tell them, but I'd rather have them not drink until they're the right age to drink. Then I don't have to worry about that so much. The thing is, I don't think I want to be explaining to my 12-year-old about the horrors of alcoholism or something. We did a show on it before that when it seems like alcoholics that try and talk to their kids about not drinking or here's the dangers of drinking, it makes them drink.
So,
on the other hand, we're saying here that if I talk to my kids about it and let them drink, it doesn't make them drink. So I don't know.
So,
completely different things.
How old was your daughter when you first talked to her about alcoholism and drug addiction? When was she first exposed to that?
2 years old.
Yeah, I was going to say three.
So you don't want to have the conversation when they're 12, but it was okay to have the conversation.
I didn't have a conversation
have them exposed
with her at all about drinking at that time.
Yeah.
She happened to go to meetings with us. All she knew was it was a cool place to go hang out.
Uh-huh.
But we didn't have a talk. You know, I'm a caramel corn in my mouth. That'll sound good on the air.
No, we never did have the talk about booze or drugs or anything like that with the kids. What happened was Connor just wasn't into it, so I didn't have to bother. And Courtney, at 17, knocked on the bathroom door one morning, and I opened the door, and she looked like death. And she said that she felt really horrible, and she smelled like death. And I said, so, you were drinking? And she said, yeah, what do I do? I feel so terrible. And I said, you figure it out just the same way everyone else did, because I wasn't going to, I know. And then she said, well, I threw up in my bed. And I said, wow, that's a bummer. You're going to have to clean that up.
Wow, you're going to learn to make it to the bathroom next time.
Yes. So, I mean, I let her sink, you were asleep. I just let her sink or swim on her own. And then the funny thing was, after that, we don't know that she ever did it again. So,
well, what she did do is she decided she was going to get into the whole weed thing.
420, baby.
Yeah, it was going to be the whole weed thing. Moves into my parents' house, has
did she find your
medical marijuana card, has a case in the corner of the room that is full of glass pipes and things. I go over there the other day because they want to talk about something serious about opening a business. I look over at the case. All the pipes and everything gone, filled up with healthy protein shake stuff and all that kind of stuff. They completely got rid of all the pipes. I'm like, why'd you get rid of the pipes? And Courtney looks at me and she goes, just thinking about becoming a cop, and he didn't think it'd be a very good idea if he's smoking weed when he becomes a cop. And I'm like, huh, yeah, probably pretty good thinking. So, Shelley.
Yeah.
What would your final words on the subject be?
Sorry, John Paul was texting me again, and clearly John Paul's texts are way more important than what we're doing. My final words on the subject, I think that, you know your family best, and I think it probably is best left up to each individual parent to decide what they should do about it. We never had booze in the house, so when our kids were teenagers, and, you know, my son had his dad to teach him, and we left Courtney to fend for herself, which was really responsible parenting, but I think it's just up to everybody on their own.
Yeah.
And whatnot.
Terry, what's your final words?
Well, like I said, I think it has to do with the maturity of the youngster. You know, how old is he, you know, or she? And, you know, like Shelley says, it's really up to each individual parent. They know their kids the best. And personally, wouldn't allow any drinking until they get the legal age, you know, in the house. Us being alcoholics, of course. Also, you know, when I was in the sixth grade, I had my best friend. The first time I went to his house, his parent was like that. He let his kids drink in the house. And I was offered a beer, but before I was offered the beer, of course, his dad asked me, well, is it okay with your parents? And I said, absolutely.
Of course it is.
You bet.
You know, and I was off and running at that point.
Brian, final words.
You know, it's up to the individual person, I think, and the family and the circumstances. I was in, when I was in high school in Bakersfield, California, I had a friend, we'd go to his house, and his parents allowed us to drink, and we ended up getting into the liquor cabinet, and then they'd get mad because we were pouring water into it, making it back full, you know, and then they're getting even more mad because we're still on their weed. But everybody in that house, including the parents, at one time or another, ended up going to prison. And so, I don't know, I think it's up to the individual to make that decision.
Wow. Amanda, what are your final words? Speaking of someone who is young in the household of alcoholics.
Final words, I guess I kind of grew up both ways. My dad drank and my mom did not. So, but they were separate households. So I kind of got to experience both. I remember as a young child trying my dad's beer or whatever and just spitting it right back out. And then he'd give me a hard time.
Beer sucks.
But I definitely feel like some of the worst decisions kids make are the decisions they make with other kids. So, I mean, I feel like there was one time that when I was 16, when I first got my driver's license, I made a bad decision to go with another 16-year-old friend, and we drove up to Apple Valley to see other friends.
That's a hike.
They were all drinking. I, however, wasn't really drinking because I didn't know exactly everyone we were with. We were with her sister, her older sister, and a lot of her friends. She, on the other hand, got really drunk. Her mom got upset, got pissed, called my dad. Next thing you know, it's, I don't know, midnight, 1 a.m, who knows. My dad's driving out to Apple Valley to come pick us up. Huge scene. However, I'll never forget the next day, me and my dad, he took me to lunch, and he goes, I mean, I'll edit the wording here a little bit. But
that's okay. We're on the internet. You're fine.
So it doesn't matter?
No.
Not really. All right,
it's pretty bad. But he takes me out, and I'm only 16. I'll never forget. We were at the Dockside Grill right there in Covina, actually.
Yeah.
And he goes, you know what I think every time I go out and I get drunk? I think someone's going to get me wasted, knock me out, and fuck me in the ass. And it keeps me from getting too wasted. And I'm like, okay.
That only happened twice.
I swear to God, that has stuck with me this entire time, and it really does keep me from getting too wasted.
Yeah,
so.
that really only happens once. Yeah.
So it really helped.
Thank God that was your answer.
All right, Rhonda. We got a lot of last words this show.
That's right.
Rhonda.
Well, let's see. My personal opinion is, you know, the drinking age is 21, then I don't think my kids should drink until they're 21. I know they'll do it anyway, but as far as doing it at my house, under my supervision, no, I don't agree with that. But one thing that I was concerned about with my kids is I wanted them to know, because at a young age, when they were around people that have been drinking or people that are drunk, and they didn't understand why are these people acting so weird, you know, because the people were drunk or whatever. And so their first exposure wasn't about really alcohol. It was about, I bought a book. It's called What's Drunk, Mama? And I read it to my kids, and it told them all about.
That's what?
It's called.
What's Drunk?
What's Drunk, Mama?
Oh, What's Drunk?
Yeah.
Let me show you.
And it's a book that explains to children, you know, basically that it's a disease. And it was a really good book, and it helped my kids to know, like, why is that person acting so weird over there? You know, and you could tell them, my kids, you could say, because they're drunk, and they knew exactly what that meant. So that's my final words.
Okay, Bill.
My final words are basically, you know, I don't know if you were ever a teenager or anybody was ever a teenager.
Well, yeah.
Or a kid.
I was born at 22.
You know, or a kid. But when I heard, you know, the do as I say, not as I did, you know, it was like those guys on Peanuts with the blah, 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 you know.
And wah, 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 wah.
Yeah. And
so my first AA meeting sounded like.
And my kids grew up with their mom because I was a practicing alcoholic at the time they were young.
Did you ever get good at it?
No, I never did get good at it. Okay. I was, you know, I'd always pass out before I got that really good. You know,
and you practiced a lot.
A lot.
As a professional.
Yes, yeah. I was. And but what I was going to say was, with me as an example, one of them is an alcoholic, druggie, and the other one won't touch it at all. And so, you know, but I know it's in the genes, because I'm like, as far as my personal history goes, I know at least to my great-great-grandfather that we've all been alcoholics, so.
I had a lot of things in my genes. Fran.
Hi.
Final words.
I have a couple of final words. First is, just do what I did and get a couple shih tzus.
Get a couple
shih tzus. They don't drink. Shih tzus. And my second thing is Rule 62. Don't take yourself.
No kids and don't take yourself so damn seriously.
And get shih tzus.
And get, instead of shit face, get shih tzus.
Yeah.
Mark?
Yeah.
Final words.
Final words, just to touch on a couple things that people shared about. You know, the reason I was in favor of letting my kids drink around me when they were young is it gave me an opportunity to talk to them about responsibility and consequences. And one thing I will say is there was, I have four children. Every single one of them, at some point, I got a call from somewhere between midnight and 3 o'clock in the morning. And they called me, and either they were too drunk to drive, or the person that was their designated driver was too drunk to drive, and they weren't going to get in the car. And I'll tell you what, I picked them up, no questions asked, never addressed it again. If they were responsible enough to call me for a ride, then they did what I taught them to do. So
true. I did that. I actually did that as well. My father, much to his chagrin, said, you know, if you ever need a ride, you call me. And I called him quite drunk and quite sickly feeling. He came and got me. I puked in his car. He said, next time, you let me know so I can pull over to the side.
See, it was an educational moment.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's one of those things where there's not really necessarily a right or wrong answer to it. I'm one of those guys, if I'm going to teach my kids to be responsible, I'm going to probably teach them to go along with what the letter of the law is, because if I don't, then I'm kind of teaching them to not be responsible. I want to point out to people here, we're eating this Recovery 101 caramel corn pickle-flavored popcorn. Anybody notice that it says Recovery LOL on it instead of Recovery 101?
No, it says 101. That's a 1. It's an O, not a 0. And it's a 1. It says Recovery 101.
You know it was supposed to say recovery101.net.
Yeah.
It looks as though it says recoverylol.net.
LOL.net.
Yeah. Which is par for the course for us.
Yeah. Although, because those are both 1s.
No, they're L's.
No, they're 1s. Those are 1s.
Are you sure?
Yep. But that is not a 0 because it says recovery 1.
Oh, it's clear.
Oh,
not a 0.
It says recovery 101.
Oh. It should have made it all caps.
That would have been better.
Would have been better. So, Shelley.
Yeah. Rhonda, what'd you do over there?
Who's our friend back east?
Oh, Christ.
Our friend back east. That would be Bruce.
The other white meat.
He runs the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com. You can read his fine publication online. You can have it emailed to you, or you can subscribe and he will send it to you in the post. You can also inquire about franchise opportunities so that you can bring the 12-Step Gazette to your town, as our friends in the Inland Empire did. If you go to 12stepgazette.com/IE, you can read the Southern California edition of the newsletter.
What if you do backslash IE?
You end up in, like, Tibet.
You end up some weird...
Some porn site.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mark?
What?
We have friends that listen to the shoe.
Yeah, we appreciate that.
We do. Very good.
We're amazed by it, but we appreciate it.
I'm completely baffled.
Yeah. How have you listened to the show? Thank you very much. We do ask that you go to recovery101.net. which is our site, and go do your duty as we request that you do on every show. You can go in, you can become a member of Podomatic, you can follow, you can like shows, you can leave comments on the shows, you can also leave topic suggestions on the shows.
Yes, you can.
And you can put us on your playlist. You know, we've got a big group tonight, and at midnight tonight, the party we're going to be having. When our playlists all go on.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be amazing.
We're all going to be out in the casino.
We got a disco ball and everything. So.
Oh, yeah. By the way, if you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. You can get updates and things on the show there. If you do want to remain anonymous on Facebook, you can join the Recovery 101 group. That is a closed group. You need to ask to be a member. If ye ask, ye shall receive. If you spam, ye shall receive the boot.
The slipper of death.
Spamming in there, but if you want to be hide things from your relatives or whatever, you can do it by going in that group. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you'd like to join the crack advertising staff, not the staff that smokes crack, but the crack advertising staff, that's recovery101radiosales@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We sure don't. Shelley, who's Ever. Lead on music by?
Looking for trouble.
Looking for trouble. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
We'll take care of you.
And I promise to tell you no lies. I got a secret obsession, a pleasure that satisfies. It's got curves in all the right places, a V8 and 4 on the floor. It takes me to faraway places where I'm wild about my Thunderbird 4. I'll take a ride. Chevy or Dodge, but honey, don't be absurd. You know the only car you're parking in my garage is a slick red Thunderbird. Right beside me, and I promise to make you a man. And if you won't oblige me, I'll find somebody who can. Don't ask me how it handles, don't ask how fast it drives. I'm not that good with the details. Parking in my